This podcast is sponsored by GoToMeeting at GoToMeeting.com.
You're listening to Success Unwrapped with Heather Vail.
Welcome to Success Unwrapped with Heather Vail, the weekly radio talk show where we unwrap and reveal the secrets that successful people use, and you can too.
Available at SuccessUnwrappedRadio.com.
Do you have a business, or maybe you just communicate with your friends and family a lot? And do you ever find that email and voicemail just don't cut it sometimes? Well, what about GoToMeeting's web conferencing solution? You actually might find that it kind of revolutionizes what you're doing now. You can actually share your computer screen with everybody you want, and you can pass mouse control to them and highlight things on the screen. It's really pretty cool. If you want to try it out for 45 days for free, all you have to do is go to gotomeeting.com/podcast. That's gotomeeting.com/podcast.
My special guest this week is Sam Crowley, a former corporate executive who turned the mess in his life into a message to empower others. His mission is to encourage people to dream big and uncover the champion within. Sam is the creator of EveryDayIsSaturday.com and the author of the ebook, You Are a Champion, Demolish Fear and Defend Your Dream. Sam, thanks for being here to help us unwrap how to be a champion on Success Unwrapped.
Heather, it is my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Where exactly did this goal to make every day a Saturday come from?
Well, it came from the most unlikeliest of people in the most unlikeliest of places. I was, as you had mentioned, a corporate executive for 16, 17 years. 10 of those years I was in sales, inside and outside sales. And then I decided to, the most likely rung on the ladder for me was to go into management. And after a few years in management, I had three promotions in 4 years. And it was cool. You know, I loved the company I worked for. I really enjoyed the relationships I had, but it was stealing a lot of time. And for a guy like me, I mean, my story isn't everybody's story. It doesn't make it the right story. It just makes it my story. I don't have a father. I've never really met him. After I've got memories of the guy maybe when I was 3 or 4 or 5 years old here and there, but he pretty much left my mom to raise 8 kids by herself back in a small town in PA. And I had a daughter at the time, Madeline, in 2004 after I had received this last promotion, and she had asked one time when I was putting her to bed, "Daddy, is tomorrow Saturday?" And I said, "Well, why do you ask me that?" "Because you've asked me it a lot lately." And she said, "Well, it's the only time we get a chance to see each other, the only time we get a chance to spend time together." And that just resonated with me. You know, it wasn't, as I tell people, I mean, I didn't go to a church revival, it wasn't a motivational seminar, it wasn't this big lightning bolt that struck me, it was this cute little 3-year-old girl that asked 4 words, and it changed my life. And I said, you know, someday, every day will be Saturday, and that's where it started.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people do have this story of being in the corporate game and then deciding at some point that it's not fulfilling to them, it's not bringing them what they want. And on the other side of the coin, a lot of us look at those kinds of jobs as the holy grail, like that's what you're supposed to strive for. You're supposed to have the 6-figure corporate executive job. So why do you think it is that once a lot of us reach what's supposed to be the holy grail, we discover that it really isn't after all?
You know, that's a great question. I don't know if I necessarily have the answer for every person out there. I can tell you that for a lot of people that I know, they get to that even the top rung on the ladder. I mean, I know a lot of CEOs that get up there and they say, it's like get to the top of the mountain. This is it, huh? this is everything I achieved. I went to school for, you know, I got my MBA, some got a PhD, rat race for 20, 30 years, and now this is it. I mean, this is all there is, and I think people have that epiphany at different points in their life. I mean, I had it in my mid-30s, but other people have it in their 50s or 60s, and I've always been someone, though, who's pushed the envelope. I've never settled. I'm a college dropout. I left Penn State after 2 years, and that's probably, they're probably happy that I was, they were in my rearview mirror, and I got 20 college credits, probably most of them gym and health class, and I'm just a guy that always wanted to challenge. And once I got to this position where I was in charge of 70 or so employees and $95 million of advertising, pretty good job, right, for a guy that I just described my whole resume to you. But,
yeah.
You know, it's just everybody has that epiphany, I'm convinced. And the other ones that say they don't are lying. I mean, I'm convinced of that too. Everybody wants more out of life, and everybody wants to do more. And whether they'll admit it now, that's a different story, you know?
Do you think it's important to fulfill goals that others have for us, or is it more important to follow our hearts?
Well, I'm going to always answer the latter, but I think it's important if you're in an organization. You know, my message every day is Saturday. I just spoke to an organization here in Cincinnati, and they're like, hey, you know, we're a little concerned about bringing you in with your website name every day is Saturday. You know? And I said, that's a fair concern, but let me just explain one thing. I mean, I was in a job for 17 years. It's not like I went to college, got out, got a job, and said, this is terrible, and never came back again. I mean, I was an integral part of an organization's plans for a long, long time, and I believe that if you're going to show up and you're going to post at work and somebody's going to write you a paycheck, you need to be responsible and you need to do the best you can. And, you know, the Everyday is Saturday message also resonates with people who don't have an interest in leaving their job, but they want to do more. You know, one of the best-selling books out right now is The 4-Hour Work Week, and this whole do more with less time is really becoming, a lot of people are latching on to that because you can outsource a lot of things even within a corporation. You know, you can find ways to do your job better at a higher level, and I was an individual who was always looking 12 to 18 months out in our industry to see what the next major problem is or was that needed to be solved, and that's a $1 million nugget too. I mean, the bigger problems you solve, the more money you have the right to earn. So, you know, I think it's just as important to be a part of someone else's goals, because being part of a winning team is awesome. But at some point in time, a lot of people come to the point of, okay, I've done this much for this organization. I've made these people look very, very good. I've got 15 direct reports at work, but I've got 3 direct reports at home, those 3 being my children. At what point am I going to shift that energy to my home direct reports? Because really, you know, 100 years from now, nobody's going to care the house you lived in. Nobody's going to care about the car you drove. Nobody's going to care about how much money was in your account. The only thing you can hope to have is a legacy of touching a child's life, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, a lot of people say that some of us are meant to be employees and some of us are meant to be entrepreneurs, but you were an employee for 17 years and now an entrepreneur. So do you think it is that black and white?
No, because there's a lot of people, especially in 2007 in the workforce, that they want more responsibility. They want to be part of something bigger than just themselves. You know, one of the books I read, Jesus Life Coach, which is a great book, she had mentioned in her book in a recent Gallup survey, the year that book was written, that 80% of the people currently employed feel as though their talents are not being properly utilized, which means that our country in the U.S. is operating at 20% capacity, you know, and that's a scary number, that many people would answer honestly to a question and say, you know, I don't really think that my talents are being properly utilized. So whether they're an entrepreneur, I don't know if they have that true entrepreneurial spirit, because it certainly takes, as you know, I mean, it takes a lot to get to that point. I mean, there's a lot of failures that go into being an entrepreneur. There's a lot of minefields you step into, but an employee is a nice, safe, secure environment, and that's an okay place to be. But a lot of the people that I speak to that are in that environment, they want to do more. They want to discover, and I think it's just inherent in human beings. They just want to kind of push the envelope, some more than others, but I think everybody has that little entrepreneurial spirit inside of them.
Yeah, so since those jobs are so safe and secure, that makes them, of course, difficult to leave. So if someone does feel like you did, that they're not fulfilling their life dreams by being in that position, no matter how safe and secure it is, what would you tell them to give them the courage to make the move that they know inside they should make?
Well, I think they need to find a mentor who's been where they want to go. And I'm not plugging that you find a million of them out there. I'm just saying anyone in your community, anyone that you know in your family, friends, but find someone who's actually done what you want to do, because that's a blueprint that you can follow. It doesn't need to be the exact blueprint, but certainly if I knew someone that drove from where I live in Cincinnati to California, I'd want to find out from them how they got there, you know, and I would want to know some of the shortcuts and some of the places not to go. And I think if you're right now feeling very safe and secure and your health insurance is paid for and your 401k is being matched and your pension is there, it's a nice place to be, but I would caution people, too, that comfortability kills. I mean, once you get comfortable and once you get complacent, you tend to not want to improve. Everything's being taken care of for you. So be very careful. There's a difference between feeling secure and getting a little bit too comfortable to where you just kind of, you know, you're tiptoeing through life. And that's not good, because I think we always need people out there like the people that started the Googles of the world, the Bill Gates, the Michael Dells, always pushing the envelope to make sure that we're improving.
Hmm. We all grow up with this message that you have to work hard to get ahead. And it sounds like the message from Every Day is Saturday is kind of the opposite, that we don't have to work hard necessarily to get ahead. What kind of value do you see in that message?
Well, there's a difference between work. I mean, make no mistake, I'm not laying in a hammock all day sipping a martini. I mean, that's not the lifestyle I do. I do what I want when I want with who I want. And I think that's the message that people, they just don't think they can do that. And if a kid that grew up with real humble beginnings, had a horrible stuttering problem, no college degree, can end up living a lifestyle like this, I'm going to say it. I mean, it sounds cliche, but anybody can do it. But I think, you know, when you're looking at, it doesn't mean that you don't have to work hard. Man, I paid the price. I mean, trust me, I paid the price. I've worked the 70 and 80 hour work weeks, and I'm here to tell you that, learn from a guy that stepped on the mines for you. You don't need to do that. You know, you need to plug into a system. If you want to have a job, that's awesome. But go find a job that really, when you go do that job, it doesn't feel as though you're working. You know, I think there's a difference between working and building, whether you're building a business like a true entrepreneur is building, or building a business within your industry. But I would always strike through that word work and always use the word build. And I would never really, you know, look at coworkers. I'd call them teammates, because that's an environment everybody wants to go to. If I say we're going to go to work all day, I might not get a lot of people to follow me. If we're going to go build a business all day, that's pretty exciting. So there's nothing wrong with hard work. I mean, you have to work hard at whatever you do. But once you get something going and you've built a business by working hard, that's the big difference. You can let go of the steering wheel and it'll be on autopilot for the longest time, and you're still earning this recurring income. Whereas in a job, you're as good as your last day's pay, you know?
Yeah. And I think that's an important distinction too, is, you know, a lot of entrepreneurs, we take that leap from the corporate world into being entrepreneurs, and we do end up working, you know, 10 hours a day, 12 hours a day, 16 hours a day sometimes. But the point is, it doesn't feel like work because we're doing what we love to do. So we are, in fact, doing what we want, when we want, with who we want, even though it is under the general banner of work. It just doesn't feel like work.
It doesn't. I mean, last night, yesterday was Father's Day. So what do? Of course, we go to Chuck E. Cheese, right? And bring three kids under six to Chuck E. Cheese. That's a four Advil day right there. And we come home and, you know, we hang out by the pool and stuff. But after that, I mean, I'm on my laptop and I'm working in the family room and the kids are there. I mean, you're right. It just doesn't feel like work. And that's really what it is. When you're hanging around and you're doing internet marketing like you and I do, and you're posting to your blog and you're writing articles and you're answering questions from your database and things like that, the kids are right there with you. You don't have some ornery coworker who's negative, know-it-all, going nowhere, just filling you with toxic energy. I mean, that's not what's going on in every day in my life. And so I think that's the biggest difference, why it doesn't feel like work to me.
Can you kind of give us a before and after snapshot? Because you described your job before, and you've given us some idea of what you're doing, but I'm sure there's some people listening thinking, well, gee, I still think this guy shouldn't have walked away from a six-figure job to go type blogs on the internet. So yeah. What exactly does your life look like now?
Well, I'll tell you, I get up in the morning, I go work out. If I wanted to do that, let's just start with that one concept right there. I didn't really have time to go to the gym in the morning. I mean, I had to be at my post relatively early. I'm talking probably got up at 5:30, got to work at 6:15, and I was answering, you know, 100 emails that were left over from the night before, all of which could have gone unanswered for months, and it probably wouldn't have made much of a difference. But that was just how I was programmed. Now I get up, I have a cup of coffee with my wife, Angela. We hang out with the kids. I go to the gym. I come home, and I get ready for the day. I write articles. I post on my blog. I answer emails from my database. I have coaching clients that I coach on the phone. And as I do that, I also am getting ready for our first motivational CD launch, the Every Day is Saturday CD, which is coming out in a couple weeks. And so I'm getting the partners together for that, and I'm conducting interviews with some of my mentors like Vic Johnson and John Delemmy and people like that. And before you know it, I also have, I didn't mention this, but I have apartments that I have back in Pennsylvania where I was born and raised, so I talk to my property manager maybe once a couple times a week, and I have that business to take care of. But an average day, I mean, if you followed Sam Crowley around, you'd probably be pretty bored, you know? I mean, unless you kind of just wanted to hang out in my office with me and watch me type on the computer and do coaching calls. But at the end of the day, you know, all the people that I've impacted just from my office here in Loveland, Ohio, is so many more than I could have impacted in a job, because when you're in a job, you can only impact the people that that are right there. I mean, when you have a business that you run, you never know. There are no 2 days that are the same in my life. And, you know, I'll go out and help Angela fill the pool up and take a break from work, or I'll go to the store and get something that she needs there. I'll take one of the kids to school or go to Madeline, who's my oldest now, and go to her dance recital and come back. And before you know it, it's 6:30, we're sitting down for dinner, and then we put the kids to bed. And, I mean, that's it. You know, it's a very relaxed, all in a pair of shorts and a T-shirt. And, you know, it's a really relaxed atmosphere, you know. My dry cleaning bill is zero now.
What do all your friends say who told you when you were thinking of making that move, you can't do it, or don't do it, it's a bad move? What do they say now?
Well, that's an excellent point because, and look, again, this is my story, so it doesn't make it the right story. I found out real quick who my friends were and who my friends are. I can probably count on one hand who my friends are. And I went through and I wrote this in my ebook. If you really want to move ahead, go through your cell phone and look at the last 10 to 15 phone calls you've made and that you've received, and they'll tell you a lot about where you're going. I pulled over on the side of the road one day and I looked at my cell phone and I said, man, these people are bringing me down. So I just delete, and I just went through a bunch of names. I got up to probably 50 names that I deleted out of my cell phone of people that were just bringing me down. And some weren't vindictive. It's not like they woke up in the morning and said, you know what, I got to get Sam Crowley today. He's going to be successful. I don't want him to be successful. It's just through people don't even know through their words and their action that they're even bringing you down. I never go to lunch with people when I was at work towards the end before I left, because it was always a conversation that revolved around gossip or, you know, innuendos or who said this and that and what's going on with the company and all this other stuff. It just was wasted energy on my part. So, you know, I had a few friends that were very supportive of me and my wife, Angela, and I think that's about it, Heather. I mean, I haven't, you know, talked to many people since I left there because, quite honestly, I think individuals just, again, unfortunately, this is a sad state, and I know people listening to this are going to say, yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, some people just don't want to see other people make it and succeed, you know. Unless they're fellow entrepreneurs, that's probably the one group I've talked to where I always feel comfortable. Everybody's pushing each other to move forward.
Why do we hang around those people that are bringing us down?
Well, I could tell you, I hung around them because I didn't have a choice. I mean, I was, you know, you have bills to pay and you have a lifestyle you got to upkeep. And unless you got a really great plan B, you can't just up and leave those people. And they are your friends. I mean, these are the same people that go to your weddings and bar mitzvahs and, you know, kids' class reunions and whatever it is, graduations, rather. You know, they're family almost. So it's not like you can just cut them out of your life. And I don't tell people to, you know, all of a sudden just call all your friends and tell them you hate them. I mean, that's ridiculous. I'm just saying that slowly and gradually, you know of relationships, people that are listening to this interview, you know of relationships where people just kind of faded away, you know, for whatever reason. Maybe they moved away. Maybe they just got another circle of friends. And I would encourage you to just kind of fade away, because if you're running in a race and it's not like somebody has to trip you or knock you over to get you off course, it's just, it's a little nudge, man. It's just like an elbow here and an elbow there. And before you know it, after 3 months, you're way off course to where you want to go. And unless people, if they're, and I say this when I speak as well, it's like an elevator, man. If their elevator isn't going up, you got to jump off, because it's going down and they're bringing you with them. And I don't necessarily know why. All I know is that it's kind of like junk food. You know, if people are looking for apathy and they're looking for pity and woe is me and did you hear about the one that got away? And it feels good to talk like that to somebody, but after 15, 20 minutes, it's like junk food. I mean, the hunger is still there and your problems, they're still there, you know, regardless if you felt better to get them out. But I just couldn't hang around those people because I found them more to be enablers of my problems when I was falling into that trap than they were anybody that was going to help me solve them, you know?
Yeah, sometimes it seems like it's easier to fall into the trap of the negative talkers than it is to be inspired by the positive people. If you're spending so much time with negative people, it just seems to be infectious somehow.
Yeah, both ways it can be. I mean, I was just, towards the end, before I had left my job, I mean, it was to the point, oh, every day's Saturday, here comes Mr. Motivation. And I'm like, oh, my God. I mean, I'm certainly don't feel this way, but I'm thinking you guys ought to be rolling out the red carpet that you got a guy this fired up and laser focused on his dream that actually shows up in his office every day. I mean, it should be sounding the horns when I show up at work. And instead, it's just like, oh, here he comes. Is it Saturday today? It's just the way people are, man. It's just the way they are. That's why guys in my industry earn a significant amount of money because there's a whole, you know, whole mass of people out there that can be motivated and inspired because everybody wants to have a great life, but they just don't think they can have it. And if they drag enough people down to them, it makes it easier than have to go get it.
Yeah, I suppose it boils down to the comfort zone. If you bring everyone around you down to your level, you don't have to get out of the comfort zone. Whereas if you're inspiring people to be great and move forward, well, there's going to be some changes and it might not be so comfortable for a while.
No, it's very uncomfortable. I'll tell you, I've stretched more in the last year than I ever have in my life. It's very uncomfortable to go out there and do that, but who's going to do it? You know, if not you, then who's going to do it?
You can check out Sam's website at everydayissaturday.com.
And I hope you've enjoyed the first segment of our interview, but it's not over. There's a full 200% more than what you just heard where we delve deeper into these success principles. To unwrap the full interview and get lots more tools for success, just sign up to become a Success Unwrapped member on any level you choose at successunwrapped.com/members.
This has been Success Unwrapped with Heather Vail.
Be sure to tune in to the next edition of Success Unwrapped, helping you to unwrap and discover your own potential for success. Until next time, keep unwrapping. I'm Heather Vail.
This podcast is part of the Blueberry Network at blueberry.com. That's spelled B-L-U-B-R-R-Y.com.